This is Helena Lay, and I am sitting here with Alan Lissauer, the owner of Advanced Economic Strategies, also known as Financial Sanity Now, and his guest, Andrea Curran. Hi, Andrea. How are you doing today?
Hello. I'm very well, thank you.
That's wonderful. Alan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thank you. And everyone, welcome to the Financial Sanity Hour, where we try to give you great hints on how to keep your home. And in many cases, if you're underwater, you may want to sell your home. So if it's okay with you, Helena Lay, I'll introduce our guest today. And that's Andrea Curran. Andrea is a short sale expert residing in Los Angeles. And she's been doing short sales for many years. And I'm going to ask her some questions so our audience out there can understand what a short sale is and what the benefit is. So first, Andrea, a lot of people don't really understand what a short sale is. Would you explain to everyone?
Yes, thank you. A short sale occurs when the lender or lenders accept less payment than is currently outstanding with the loan. So in other words, if you have $500,000 outstanding with your loan and you can only sell it for $400,000, they will then accept that amount of money in the sale.
So it's really a short pay.
Correct.
And when they say short sale, it's not because the lender is short or the owner is short, right? It's a little joke. Okay. Thought I put a little humor in there. But it's really a short pay. So a better term would be it's a short pay sale.
Some people call it that, yes.
Short pay sale. So if someone's house is, say, worth $400,000 and they owe $500,000 on the first mortgage and $50,000 on the second mortgage, they could do a short sale or they couldn't?
In those amounts, typically you could, but there's really no way to know until you actually try. There are many other circumstances that the lender takes into account to see whether or not they will actually complete the short sale. So some lenders require that the owner live on the premises in order to do it.
Oh.
So, I mean, it depends on so many factors.
Give us, for our audience out there, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of questions, and if anyone wants to call in, I'm sure you can call into BBS Radio and they'll pipe in the call. But in the meantime, I'll ask questions which I think people are asking. So when you have a short sale, what are some of those things? Do you have to be owner-occupied, or is that maybe?
That's maybe, but most likely, yes.
Most likely.
In other words, I'm aware of a short sale that was denied because what happened was the property was severely underwater.
Okay.
The owner put it up for sale as a short sale, and for him, for one reason or another, it was emotionally very challenging, and so he rented another house.
Yeah.
And the broker continued to market it as a short sale, and when it came time, the bank said, short sale denied. If you can afford to pay rent, you can afford to pay your mortgage, we're not going to do it.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, and it's a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
You just don't know exactly what's going to happen because you don't know who the investor is. And even with a particular bank, like Bank of America, depending on who the investor is behind the note, that's who will decide whether a short sale will take place.
Okay, so what bank was this?
That was B of A.
B of A. So in that case, if someone has a B of A loan, they may not get it if they're not living on the property. But why would it make sense, and I realize the world's not logical anymore when it comes to real estate, but why would it make sense for the Bank of America to deny a thing? Because if it's underwater, maybe this leads to another question. Do you have to miss payments? If you're making the payments, does that make a difference to the bank?
I don't know, because I know of some situations where the seller actually did not miss any payments and did a short sale.
Okay.
And that one actually very quickly and very smoothly. And then I've been involved in other ones where, yes, the the seller for a very long time did not pay any payments, and that went smoothly as well.
It just
didn't make any difference.
Well, I know it varies state to state, so for those people listening out there, we're located in California, and you'd have to check your state law at state to state, but I will say in California, I'm sure of this, that the property is the only collateral for the loan. So that person really wouldn't be liable for that if he walked away from the house. So why would he not, if the bank doesn't want to do the short sale, why wouldn't he just say, okay, I'm leaving?
I don't know an answer to that. I mean, and I've talked to several people that feel that way. Why go through the trouble of a short sale? You know, so it helps your credit. I mean, that's
important.
Yeah.
That's one reason.
But it depends. I mean, if your credit's already completely thrashed.
Right. Yeah, which happens in this world right now.
Right. And then, you know, I don't know how much a short sale versus a foreclosure will make a difference. That's, again, a question that your accountant or your financial advisor can help you with. I mean, this is really a case-by-case basis. I mean, I would encourage someone to try to save their credit and do the best they can with the bank.
Yeah, and I think most people would rather see it listed on their credit report as sold and paid. Is that the way the bank would list it in a short sale?
I've not seen what happens afterwards because I haven't done one personally and my clients
okay.
don't tell me afterwards. So I don't know what their credit looks like.
Okay.
Perhaps you do.
No, I don't know, but I would think I know you did one for Mr. R.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say his name.
Mm-hmm.
And did that one work out all right? With Mr. R?
Yeah. To the best of my knowledge, it worked out very well.
Right.
For everyone.
He's also our client on a different house that we modified things to you. And I saw his credit report. And on that credit report, it said on the second mortgage, they didn't show it as being paid off entirely. But again, thanks to you, we got your letter, and you had done the short sale properly. And I want to say to everyone out there thinking of a short sale, get an expert. Get someone like Andrea, who's an expert, because when she wrote the contract for this gentleman, she made sure he did not have any liability, that the bank agreed he didn't have liability, and also that it would say that he paid it off. So if they don't show it that way, and it's written in the contract, you can write to the credit bureaus, right,
mm-hmm.
and make sure they follow that.
Well, there are mistakes made all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and it's up to the consumer, you know, to do it the right way, and that's what we're here for, to give information to all the consumers.
Right.
And you definitely need expert help, and not every realtor knows short sales. Am I right?
You're absolutely right. It's a very complicated transaction. It takes an intimate knowledge of the process and how to do it properly. I mean, even as a buyer of a short sale, if you say, for example, you're an investor and you're buying a short sale, that requires a different form.
Oh.
If you don't write it on the correct form, this could be a criminal offense.
Oh.
Yeah. So it these things have to be done properly, and you have to have...
Why would that be for the listeners out there?
I don't know why exactly, but I do know that there are two different forms, one for an investor and one for someone who intends to use the home as their primary residence.
Okay.
And it has to be done properly at the outset.
Hmm. Okay. So what I think our audience wants to take away from this is that get someone who knows what they're doing. Now, I have a friend who owns a home in Florida. I know you're licensed in California. But in Florida, there is personal liability, unlike California. And let me explain what personal liability is. If you want to chime in, please do. California is known as a state where if you buy a home, it's called purchase money. If you're going to live in that house, and if you walk away and any purchase money put in there, that includes property tax or the mortgage, is against the home, not against you personally. Okay, in Florida, that is not the case. You are liable personally, as well as the home being liable. So again, I want everyone to know out there, these rules vary state to state. In California, a second mortgage could be purchase money, or if you get it after the fact, it may not be purchase money, and then you're responsible for that. So in a short sale, it's very important. Well, will you tell us how important this is to deal with the second mortgages?
Well, say, for example, you have a $300,000 mortgage, and you short sell your property, you pay off the first, and you pay off, say, $50,000 of the $300,000 second, which leaves you with a $250,000 deficit.
Well, that's a lot of money.
Yes. You could be taxed on that, and you could be, someone could go after you, but the lender could go after you for it. So, and that is seen as, my understanding is, and again, check with your financial advisor, is that that is taxed as earned money
income.
Yeah. And so you could be in a huge tax.
Well, isn't that, isn't there a debt of tax forgiveness law that's still going on?
Yeah,
when does that expire?
Well, there's one that has to do with taxes, and there's one that has to do with the liens. And one expires at the end of this year, and one expires in January of 2013. So they're really
close.
They're very close to one another.
Well, so is that for, what does that apply to?
My understanding is it applies to both first and second trustees.
Okay.
And so what I just said about the $300,000 loan, that would actually be, the bank would not have recourse against the seller.
If contract's written properly by the realtor.
Right, and during this time.
Right.
Also, the tax liability is also not there. So we're kind of like in a really nice,
narrow place
for someone who is considering doing this,
right?
Where a lot of the liability is taken away.
So the idea, and it's not a lot of time. It's August. I mean, to complete a short sale, how long do they take?
On a good day, 4 months.
On a good day, 4 months. So. For anyone thinking about a short sale, what we encourage you to do is get the information you need. And the way to get that information is to call Andrea. I mean, she is the one who really understands this. Her number, and she's been nice enough to supply her personal number to us, is 818-585-6093. Again, her number is 818-585-6093. Or you can email her at Andrea, that's A-N-D-R-E-A, Curran, two R's, C-U-R-R-A-N, at earthlink.net. And I know Andrea very well. She's a personal friend, and I've also worked with her. And, you know, if you give her a call, she's going to give you the information you need. Now, if there's something she can do for you, recommend someone in your area, or if you are in the Los Angeles area, anywhere around the Los Angeles area, she can help you personally. But, you know, give her a call. It's 818-585-6093. Now, I have a few more questions I wanted to ask her. And that has to do with... I have heard, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but there are a few people who have short-sold their homes and have gotten moving money from the banks?
Or yes.
Is that,
I've heard like $6,000, $8,000.
Can you tell us a little about that and what banks are doing that?
I don't know which banks are doing that, actually. I mean,
I heard Chase did some, and I heard Chase is pretty good about it, but there may be other banks doing it. They've given like $3,000 to $8,000.
Yep.
But people who would short sell it and then move out in a timely manner. Yes?
And yeah, I've heard that.
So there is a benefit to this.
There is a benefit. And the other benefit, and this is what I've heard, depending on the lender, that it's possible that within 2 years that the homeowner who has short sold their home would be eligible to get another loan.
Yeah, I've heard that also.
Yeah,
right. So it's not a big bang on your credit, whereas the foreclosure, I think, is a much bigger bang.
Yes, it's a big hit.
Right, that's a big hit. In fact, I've heard bankruptcy is better than a foreclosure in many cases.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, this is what we've seen. You know, we deal with hundreds of clients in different areas of duress. So my understanding is, and I would say this to our audience, is if your house is underwater, you're having trouble making your payments, solutions are modifications or short sales. So I think a lot of people probably want to know, when should you do which? Do you have any ideas on that?
Well, yeah, I think the first thing you have to determine is, can you stay in your home? Can you afford to continue to stay in your home? And if you feel that you can, I think you're the person to call. I mean, that's certainly when people that I run across that are having problems, it's Alan who I recommend that they call. If you feel that you can't, then a short sale, I think, is a good option.
I agree.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give out our number just because I don't know if anyone's gotten it this particular airing. Financial Sanity Now, also known as Advanced Economic Strategies, our number is 866-753-4028. Let me repeat that because we're on the radio. 866, that's the easy part, 753, and the way you could remember that is you can use odd numbers and go down in progression, 7, 5, and a 3, and then go 4028, 4028. These are little memory devices.
You're a numbers guy.
So, again, 866-753-4028. And Andrea, would you give us your number one more time?
Yes, thank you. 818-585-6093.
So let's discuss this a little more. If someone comes and they come to me, for instance, and they have a $400,000 mortgage, and sorry for the audience, if you're not in California, our mortgages are higher than most states. They have a $400,000 mortgage. The house was worth $250,000. They may not recoup that for quite a while, depending on how long it takes to appreciate. What I say to them is, if you modified your mortgage and your payment was XYZ, maybe $2,000 a month, could you afford to stay? Because I couldn't do better. I give them a plus or minus. And if it's not better than that, could you afford to stay? And if they go, you know, Alan, even if we had that payment, we couldn't afford it, I'd say short sell your house because you're better off doing that. And again, Andrea, tell me, but in my understanding, while you're short selling the house, the people can still live there. Is that right?
Well, it's preferred. And typically when I'm in a transaction, the bank asks me every time I talk to them, is the seller living on the premises?
Okay.
They want to know.
Okay. So another question, because I hear all kinds of wild stories out there. I've heard of people who haven't made payments for a year and are short-selling their home. Does that work in their favor or not in their favor, that they haven't paid for a year? I mean, they haven't paid because they just don't have the money.
Right. You know, the short sale happens one way or the other. I mean, in my experience, they just want to sell the house. Now, possibly, you know, they would let the process go a little bit longer if the owner were paying their mortgage. I don't know. I mean, I've had situations where the short sale was interrupted and foreclosed.
Oh.
So, but now we have...
That's not so great.
No, it's not. No.
So are you aware of that if it happens, or is it just, bam, something strange happens and they foreclose? Isn't that a negotiation that's going on with the bank?
Well, yeah, and what I'll do is I say, okay, well, give me another month, and they'll say okay,
right.
And give me another month, and they'll say okay, and then finally they say, you know what, we can't give you another month.
Oh, I see.
What's
all right. So again, I think for everyone out there, you need a professional, someone who can deal with the banks. Do not try this on your own. Do not. Right?
No.
This is not a for sale by owner type situation.
No.
Okay? for those of you thinking about it, let's not do that.
Well, I can tell you that my package, my short sale package, is typically over 100 pages. So, it has a lot of information that I think the typical homeowner cannot even get.
Okay. So, Andrea, you've given us some great information so far. Is there anything else you would like to tell people about short sales in this market? I mean, it seems that the way the real estate market is, it's local. You know, people in Beverly Hills aren't suffering the way people in Riverside County are.
That's right.
Or in the Central Valley or even around parts of Lake Tahoe, believe it or not. So, and even where we live in the valley, parts are doing horribly and parts are doing better.
Right.
So is there anything else you'd like to tell them about short sales?
I think it's a personal decision that needs to be come to with your financial advisor or legal advisor so that you can make a good decision. Of course, I as a real estate agent can help you, but I do the technical part of it. I can't give you that kind of advice. I can't give
right.
you tax or legal advice. That's something you're going to have to get on your
right.
own. And I think that's the first step.
Mm-hmm. I
that's
agree.
It's really the very first step to decide whether this is the right avenue for you. Yeah.
The thing is, if you can't afford your mortgage, you have to do something. Because if you sit there and not pay it, it'll be foreclosed on. So you can't do that. That's not a good idea. So what we're recommending is look into modification or look into short sale if you can't afford it. In other words, you're better off planning your future rather than letting it overtake you.
Absolutely.
And this will allow you time to look for another place to live and maybe get some moving money from the bank and,
right.
and not kill your credit so that later on you can move on.
Yeah.
You know, this. We understand this crisis hurt all of us. In one way or another, and none of us are happy about it, but our job here at Financial Sanity Now overall is to give people the best advice they can to move on with their lives. We're not here to blame everyone or the banks, although we want to. It's no good. It's not going to help. What's going to help is to take action for each individual. So, with that, I think we're going to wrap it up with Andrea, unless she wants to give her number one more time.
Yes, thank you. My phone number is 818-585-6093.
Okay, and she's going to hang around the studio for a little while, and right now it's going to go back to Helena Lay, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the general economy, and we're going to talk about modifications and some questions, and some things that have been happening with Fannie and Freddie, and, like that. So, Helena Lay.
Thank you so much, Andrea. She was a doll, wasn't she?
Yes.
Yeah, she's very educated on short sell selling. So if anybody out there needs to short sell their home or, needs to handle any problems related to short sales, please give Andrea Curran a call. So, Alan,
Or let me just say, they can also contact her through our website by leaving us a message, and we'll get her. If you want to remember our website, it's www.financialsanitynow.com. Andrea will be putting an article on there for everyone so they can find out a little bit more about that, but we will be happy to relay the information. We're on the radio every week, and our website is also, you can reach it through BBS Radio. You go to BBS Radio/Financial Sanity Now. You will find links to our website. So we'll always be happy to get in touch with Andrea for you.
That's great. Okay, so Alan, let's begin our normal show. There was an article titled Mortgage Debt Forgiveness Preventing Foreclosures, and it read, only 12% of borrowers who received principal reductions redefaulted in 2011, Amherst found. That's compared to 23% of borrowers who received mortgage modifications with interest rate reductions, but no principal reduction, and 30% who received forbearance, which postpones their debt repayment. Obviously, that's double and then triple.
Yes.
So, do you believe that lowering people's principal balance is a good way to keep homeowners in the home?
I do. I think it is good. And I know there's been a lot of controversy on all the cable networks recently about this. The figures speak for themselves. If the idea here is to kind of level the market out and make it a playing field where everyone can start to play again, and that will eventually allow house prices to increase and will stabilize the market, I think it's good for everyone, even the investors who have invested in real estate in the past or mortgage-backed securities. Although there's a lot of resistance from those particular people to reduce. I understand it's their investment. I understand they're not anxious to reduce the principal. But let's look at it another way. What are you doing? There's no value there. If you don't reduce it, what are you going to wait, 8 or 9 or 10 years? Well, what happens with the psychology of people, the way I understand it, and I'm sure there's anyone listening who wants to dispute this, they call in. We'll talk about it. When people are underwater too much and they just keep paying money on a mortgage, you know, at a certain point, they're like, why am I doing this? Why am I doing it? Why am I staying here and just keep pumping money into this house? And so I think that's why you see these figures so different when it's reduced, and now the amount they owe is near an equivalent, or maybe equivalent or near the equivalent of their mortgage. They feel, you know, at some point, this will become my investment again. Understand, and this is for all our audience out there, 27% of the people are underwater. That's a lot of people. And yeah, they don't feel great about it.
So far this year, principal reductions have accounted for 40% of the modifications done by the banks. That's up dramatically, about 25% since 2011 and 11% since 2012, according to Amherst. You know, if you're saying there's about 27% of people that are underwater, so if we're less than 40%, that means we're only helping about 12% of the nation's homeowners with these principal reduction programs.
I take dispute with these figures. Having been involved in this, I see nowhere near that amount being done. I don't know. I'd like to see backup. Again, I'm a skeptic. Mm-hmm. I'm originally from New York. We taught to be skeptical. And also we learn that in journalism, you know, be skeptical. I would like to see backup on this because my experience finds it to be less than 5% of the people are getting any mortgage reduction, principal reduction. Now, maybe it'll get better, but I don't see it right now.
Speaking of which, there was another article titled Fannie, Freddie, and basically it's saying that they've stopped giving principal reduction.
Yeah.
Fannie, Freddie, regulatory, says no to reducing mortgage principal. Have you heard about that?
I have.
Last month?
Yeah, well, actually,
they announced.
I think there's a call. Hello? Okay. I'm going to answer you. I think there's a call coming through, but if not, let me talk about Fannie and Freddie. They account for 60%. 60% they back up of all the loans in the United States. Now, the head of the person in charge of them is in charge of the Federal Mortgage Administration, and he said no, Fannie and Freddie will not agree to reduce mortgage principal. They're not going to do it, period. They said because they'll lose too much money and their investors don't like it. For those of you who don't know, Fannie and Freddie are owned by you out there. You own it. The people of the United States have put $138 billion into these companies to prop them up. They used to be quasi-government, private. Now they're in receivership to the federal government. And for them to come out and say, we're just not going to reduce the principal, these people are, and by the way, just so you all know, the Obama administration, I don't know what your political leanings are, have said that is not right. They wanted to see principal reductions, not in every case, but in cases where it's necessary. So they've literally gone against their own administration that has put them there. There is swirling controversy now about this. Even the Secretary of the Treasury, Timothy Geithner, said, why? We need to do this. So there's push and pull around this. It's not over. But as of right now, if your loan is backed by Fannie or Freddie, 60% of yours are, you will not get any principal reduction. They are not included in what was known as, I think, Helena Lay, you know a little about this, DOJ, you know, the DOJ program.
Department of Justice program.
Okay, that was the program where people can get principal reduction if it's owned by one of the banks that signed on to it. In other words, I think it was Chase, Citi, GMAC, PNC, Bank of America. The catch here is it has to be owned and serviced by the same party. Then it's part of a program, and this was part of the settlement with all the attorney generals. Read the fine print, people. That's the only way you can get it. So you understand, some people have a Bank of America loan, but it's owned by a Chase, or vice versa. They don't have to do principal reduction in that case. We have seen it in a few cases. That's why I take dispute with these figures. So right away, 60% of all mortgages are not going to get reduced. So that leaves the other 40%. So I don't know where they're getting these figures from. You know? Now, again, I'm not even sure how many people are getting modified these days. So we need to get more accurate figures on that. My experience right now is the banks have slowed down the modification process. Don't know if they're waiting for the election or what's going on.
Wow. That's a lot of information. Thank you so much for providing that to us. Even more principal reductions will result from the tripling of incentives paid to mortgage investors who participate in the Principal Reduction Alternative Program, PRA, part of the Home Affordable Modification Program. For every dollar investors, the pension funds, municipalities, and other buyers of mortgage-backed securities allow to be written off, or they can back up as much as 63% from Treasury.
That's an interesting fact.
I think a lot of people have problems with principal reduction because they believe it's unfair.
Oh, well.
I've seen a lot of comments on these articles on the CNN reply website, and they're thinking that they're paying for other people's principal reductions when, in fact, the Federal Housing Finance Agency controls the majority of outstanding mortgages through the oversight of Fannie and Freddie.
That's right.
Which have prohibited the mortgage giants from including debt forgiveness as a part of their mortgage modifications.
You know, I thank you for bringing that up. I always think the theme about fairness is important, but I've also realized that over the years, you know, you hear the expression "life's not fair." And I wish it was fair, and I'm not. I think fair would mean an equitable, equal playing field. What would be fair? What would be fair is that everyone should be offered a 3% mortgage or a 2% mortgage, and then after 5 years, go up to the current rate of 3.675 or 3.875, whatever the current rate is. That would be fair. Then everyone would have it. And they'd sign a paper saying, if I could pay this, I keep my house. If I can, I won't argue. I'll be happy to leave. But that's not the way these systems have been put into effect. they haven't been put into effect in what I call equitable. When the banks got TARP, they just got the money, and they did what they want so they could bail themselves out. You know, it's like me giving you $500,000 if you're in trouble. I think you could figure out how to make your life better.
How much would you say that Fannie and Freddie received in bailout money?
Well, we know right now it's been $138 billion.
Is that just Fannie and Freddie, or is that all the things?
No, that's just Fannie and Freddie.
So Fannie and Freddie received $138 billion, and they're not willing to participate in the principal reduction programs.
That's correct. That's correct. Is that fair?
Oh, I guess our viewers
maybe
vote on it.
Our viewers should vote on it, and maybe they should talk to their representatives because, this is controlled by the government. So maybe, there's an election coming up. Now, but I realize that there's this fairness issue that takes place, and a lot of people say, well, I paid my mortgage, and I did this, and I did that, and, you know, my house is not really underwater. It's gone down in value. Maybe it was worth $500, now it's worth $3. I only owe $3. Why aren't I getting a principal reduction? You know, I mean, just because, you know, my friend owes five, and his is worth $3, so we're going to give him $200,000. That's the argument, you see, that it is not fair. But the truth is, it's not fair. But I'd like people out there to know that whether it's fair or not, if the market starts to even out, your home will go back up in value a lot faster than this hodgepodge system that's going on now. This is a patchwork, quiltwork system that is just dragging out this foreclosure mess. Something Andrea, we didn't talk about with Andrea because she's involved in real estate. Actually, one of the best realtors in Southern California. And one of the things we didn't talk about is that right now in certain areas there is actually a shortage of inventory for homes. But one thing I know on the other side is the banks are holding on to a great deal of properties they're not releasing. So it's kind of like an earthen dam holding these properties back, but if they came through, it would flood the market out again, which is what happened 6 or 8 months ago. There's something going on here, as the song says. Something's happening here, but it ain't completely clear. And it's really not completely clear how this market's being manipulated at this moment.
Well, hopefully you could help us get clear. And for the viewers listening out there, if you want to contact Alan or his company, you can call 866-753-4028, or you can go to his website, www.financialsanitynow.com. You could even reach him through Facebook if you type in Financial Sanity Now, and then you can go to his website, click like, and you'll receive all of the updates. There's also a book Alan wants to elaborate on.
I do. In fact, I want to thank some of our listeners in Alaska who recently have purchased the book. And our book is about how to take care of yourself in this. It'll give you a lot of the information we've discussed, who allows mortgage debt forgiveness, who doesn't. How you can get it, how you can deal with your own personal finances, as well as dealing with your mortgage. So if you're not in California and you're interested in knowing more about this, tap on the website. You can see the book. It's called The Homeowner's Guide to Mortgage Relief. And I wrote it.
That's wonderful.
It's a nice book.
So I think it's time for our weekly tips. Alan, are you ready to give our weekly tips?
Wow, that was a great sound effect. I really like that.
So you mentioned earlier something about talk to your representatives. Is that your first weekly tip?
My first weekly tip is yes. There is an election coming up, and for everyone out there who is not an apathetic voter, find out where your representative stands on the housing issue. Make it part to find out where do they stand on modification. Where do they stand on mortgage relief, on debt relief, on student loan relief? This is another issue that's coming up, and we're very interested in it, you know, as we are with credit cards. So please let us know all about how that works, okay?
So what would you suggest, writing in a letter, calling your congressman, writing in something to your senator?
I think there are emails that you can get involved with. I think there's organizations you can get involved with.
And if you wanted to take it to an extreme, you could certify a letter in from your home, especially if you're asking for help.
To your congressman?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. To your state senator, to your senator. I would definitely do that. Or send them to us. We'll group them up and we'll send them out for you. Or give us a jingle, and we'll let you know who your representative is. I think it's time to have a grassroots movement to really work on getting this done. And how do we get it done? As a group. Remember, we are a country that is a democracy, and let's use the tools of a democracy to get things done. Let's become our own lobbyists.
That sounds great. So speaking about getting things done by yourself, I know we were talking off air earlier about tip number two, which would be reading the documents that you signed very carefully before signing them.
Yes.
A lot of people opted themselves into very awful loans without knowing what they were getting themselves into.
Yes. Well, I would say yes. Take that time. You know, someone will come to you with a bunch of documents, and most people don't want to read it. You know, someone will stand in front of you and go, here. There'll be little yellow arrows. They'll say, sign here, sign here, sign here, sign here, sign here. And after a page or two, you're like, okay, where should I sign? You know, I think you need to read it, okay? It's only maybe an hour of your time, and it's going to really be part of your life's purchase, a home. It's something you don't do that often. Read everything. There could be something about floods. There could be something about flood insurance. There could be, I actually wish Andrew was still in the studio because she could tell us more about all the things you really are signing and what to look out for. Are you supposed to have a termite inspection on the house you're buying? There's so many items. And then you get into the actual note, which is where what we know more about. What is the interest rate? What's the actual interest rate? Does that change? When does it change? And there are still adjustable loans being given out today. One of the reasons for that is that the rates are low, and they'll give you an adjustable rate, and they'll say over 10 years you can get a low rate. But in 10 years, I hope you're ready. Or 5 years, and we'll see what happens.
And the third weekly tip is to?
Well, the third weekly tip is to buy the book. Go to our website and buy the book.
Or to contact your company if people listening out there do not have a home mortgage. If they have any debt or any kind of financial questions, they can contact you by emailing you. Also at Alan@AES, that stands for Advanced Economic Strategy 77.com, Alan@AES77.com, or they can call you at the 866-753-4028 with their questions.
That's right.
And you help people stay in their home, lower their interest rates, possibly reduce their principal, and even lower their interest rates on their credit cards. You've helped negotiate so many different situations, settlements, liens, just what you do.
Can I tell you a little story today? It's also about a Mr. R, which we won't mention.
Sure.
But anyway, Mr. R asked us. He had a large amount due to the Bank of America, $36,000. They were about to sue him on a credit card. And we were able to settle that for him today for $5,000. That is about 12% of the debt. So we can do that for people. We can settle your debt. Do I recommend doing it? I don't know. there's three ways to go about debt. So let's go into that topic a little bit, just for a few minutes. Is that okay, Helena Lay, or did you have something else on our agenda?
Go ahead.
Okay. Three ways. One, you can go bankrupt. You've got a lot of debts, you can go bankrupt, and you can still keep your house. In many states, you can keep your house, and you can get in touch with people like us or someone in your state that can actually modify your house. So you might be able to walk away with your house, with your car, and get rid of the debt. That's one choice. Some people don't want to do that, and I can consult an attorney. Secondly, you could settle your debts. Now, in this case, Mr. R. hadn't paid this debt for a long time, so it had gone into collections. The reason they were willing to settle is that it had been in collections, and had they sued, Mr. R. did not have a lot of tangible assets, okay? So if you have a lot of tangible assets, I don't think it's a good idea. There's also other ramifications, and I think you have to consult your accountant for anything that might happen when you do settle a credit card. But for some people, it's a way out. And the way I look at it, and I'm going to give you the third solution in a moment, the way I look at it is when you get into a financial mess, it weighs on people's psyches. It makes them feel bad. It affects everything they do. And so, please, people, don't bury your head in the sand. Look at what's going on. Look at what's truly affordable. I know people have credit cards, and they kept on paying them and using up their savings, and they still couldn't pay them down. And now they don't have savings. So does that make sense? No. Let's look at a little long range. Get with a financial planner and see. Let's say I'm earning $3,000 a month, and my credit cards are $800, and my mortgage is $2,000. You can understand that it's not going to work very long, okay? You need to look at it, and then you need to contact someone like Financial Sanity Now, or there are other companies in your state, someone who will help you to recognize what's going on and allow you to make a plan. May I say the third thing? Do we have time for that? The third thing is to take these debts and consolidate them. So let's say you have $30,000 in credit card debts. We have a way of consolidating them, getting the banks to accept 0 to 2% interest and paying them off principal only for 5 years. This doesn't hurt your credit. It lowers your payments. You don't pay interest. It's a great way to take care of your credit card debt. The banks are happy with it. We're happy. You're happy. Why is everyone happy? Because everyone's getting paid, and you now have a path. And I tell you, the sooner you get on the path to financial sanity, the better, with your home and with your credit cards. It'll change your day. And
thank you so much for sharing that with us, Alan. And now it's time for our weekly bash on the bank. So, Alan, who takes the cake this week? Which bank has been?
Well, I have to say this, and it's without a doubt, the bash on the bank goes to Bank of America.
As usual. What horror story do you have for us this week?
Well, the horror story is one that, you know, it's so horrible that, I'll tell you, but it's actually strange because it's abnormal. But it's true. There's a fireman, I'm going to call him Fireman C. I don't like to mention names. He got a modification after over a year working with us with the Bank of America. The modification was put into place November of 2011. They sent him his final documents. They sent a notary out to his house. Everything seemed very good. It wasn't the lowest payment. It wasn't the highest. It was just, it helped him through the time. He made payments in December and in January and in February. He then got a call from the bank that he wasn't making his payments properly, and he said, why? And they said, because your payment is higher than that. He said, well, no, that is my payment with the modified agreement. And he was shocked. And he called us, and we were shocked. And the thing is, they did not honor their agreement. They literally did not honor it. And to this day, they have not honored his modification. What we recommended was he see an attorney and enforce the contract that the bank gave him, because it is a contract.
It is a contract, and also in the state of California, accepting money is also a legally binding contract.
Absolutely.
As well.
If I say to you, I will sell you this for $12, and I put it in writing, and you give me the $12, that's it. It's done.
Yeah. Alan, you were telling me about this story off the air, and I was almost in a state of, you know, utter shock because, the more details you were telling me in a brief version was that he received a modification. Bank of America sent a notary out to his home. They took his payment, new payment for 3 months, and then later on, from what you told me earlier, they stated that they didn't lock it into the system and they wanted him to reapply again. Is that correct?
Yes, as strange as that sounds.
And that he owed over $76,000.
Yes. Where they got that number, they still haven't been able to come up with. So I would say, Bash of the Banks this week goes to
Bank of America.
Bank of America, and they're getting it every week.
Well, let's hope they can really get this stuff together, because
let's hope they can help a man who fights fires for Los Angeles. Because if our firefighters acted the way the banks did, homes would burn down. These people put their lives on the line, and for them to be treated like this from the Bank of America, it is disgraceful.
We have about 3 minutes here. Do you want to go into a weekly success story, something that you did successful? Who have you helped this week, Alan?
All right. Well, one of the people that were helped this week was a lady who lost her husband. She's a psychologist. She lost her husband, and she just was really unable to function in the world very well for over a year. She fell behind on her payments, and we were able, through our staff, to do a really great job. She hadn't also paid her property tax, unfortunately. And we were able to get all that and remodify her house for her. So it was actually a condominium. So to me, this was a great success. You know, losing a spouse is hard enough, and then to lose a house on top of a spouse, I know they rhyme, but sorry. You know, it's difficult.
So that's
people.
Wonderful. And from what you told me earlier, you also helped to negotiate her HOA lien.
Yes.
The HOA company was trying to take her property, and you negotiated that in a way that she can afford it so that the bank would modify her home.
That's right, because they wouldn't do it while the HOA people wanted to come after her and take her home. Everyone wanted her house. The HOA people, the bank, in fact, she had a sale date that was sitting on the house.
And what did you do with that sale date?
Well, thanks to our able staff, we were able to remove the sale date and get this modification. Now she doesn't have to worry about her house being sold.
That's wonderful, Alan. Thank you so much for talking with us this week and for just, you know, doing all the work that you do. So if anybody needs financial advice with their home mortgage, their first, fifth, and or their credit cards, you can call Alan at 866-753-4028. Once again, 866-753-4028. And if you want to look up his website, just go to www.financialsanitynow. Facebook, Financial Sanity Now. Homeowners Relief Kit is his book. You could also type that in, and you will find that on the website of Financial Sanity Now. His email, alan@aes77.com. You have no excuse. If you need help, you can call. If you need help, you can email. You could look it up. You could do the research, contact your representatives, and thank you all for tuning in this week.
Yes, we do thank you very much. And we want to thank again our guest, Andrea Curran.
She was wonderful.
For being so kind and
absolutely
to come on the show. Maybe she'll make a repeat performance in a couple of weeks and help us out again. I just, you know, in closing, I want to thank everyone who's listened and, you know, wish you all a great week. I know it's hot out there in California. It's 100 degrees. It's hot in a lot of parts of the country. So keep cool, people, and get in touch with us.
Thanks.